Breaking news, two legal memorandums from the administration cracking down on illegal immigration.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This is going to call for the additional hiring of 10,000 more immigration and customs enforcement agents, in addition to an additional 5,000 border patrol agents to keep the border safe.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
It will also prioritize the removal of criminal illegal aliens, people who are convicted of any criminal offense, people who have been charged with a criminal offense that has not been resolved, anyone who has committed acts which constitute a chargeable criminal offense, anyone who has abused public benefit programs, that could be a very controversial point, and people who are subject to a removal order but are still in the country.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome to the broadcast, and we've got breaking news. The President's administration has issued two memorandums from Homeland Security, one involving border security, the other involving immigration enforcement. These are big. It covers a lot of topics. Hiring 15,000 agents, implementation of the border wall, the removal of the catch and release program that has been so controversial, deputizing local law enforcement, and in addition to the 10,000 ICE agents, 5,000 new Border Patrol agents, 500 air marshals to be implemented to use that kind of technology. This is big, and this comes as the implementation order of the president's executive order. So this came through the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, that's right. It includes, the border wall. And you go to, again, I'm holding in my hands. This is the there's two memos here. This memo is implementing the president's border security and immigration enforcement improvements policies. You go to page 5, and that refers to already doing the studies on the wall, the portions that need to be built, looking for resources already available. So it does say, yes, go to Congress requesting funds, but it says to also look for pre-existing resources to get the construction beginning in certain sections of the wall. So you've got the studies here. You've got, again, specific now instruction to, I mean, it's clear as day, letter F, border wall construction and funding. So some of the funding already available, some of the funding which will need to be appropriated by Congress.
Policies regarding the apprehension and detention of aliens described in the Immigration and Nationalization Act. This is under paragraph 1 of the provision under A. It can't be any clearer than this. Such policies, collectively referred to as catch and release, shall end. And by the way, that shall end as of today. So you're talking about a major change here. That is a change that's happening literally today. Let's describe for everyone what catch and release is, Jordan, because it's important.
Sure. Catch and release, because of the lack of detention facilities at our border, there was a policy put in place by the Obama administration. This actually probably predates the Obama administration, that people who are caught crossing illegally, some who don't have criminal records or for whatever reason because of resources, they're actually released back into the United States. So they stay in the United States and they're told to show up at a hearing. And of course, oftentimes people don't show up at those hearings. They disappear into the fabric of the United States, which is why we don't even have a good number on how many people are here illegally. You know, we hear numbers of 11 million, 20 million. This again says no more of that policy. And we're going to increase the detention facilities. We're also going to stop this policy. We used to have a policy which you could be removed quickly if you could approve, if you were only here for like a couple weeks. Now right. It's 2 years you have to prove, or else it's expedited removal.
Yeah, so that becomes a big issue as well. The Trump administration outlines this. This is through the Department of Homeland Security. So again, but this is from the Department of Homeland Security. That's who's implementing the executive order here. All right, let's go ahead. We're going to take your calls and comments. When we come back from the break, we've got a lot to talk about. Let's go ahead, Logan, and let everybody know how they can engage.
Yes, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110 to be on the show today. You can also find us broadcasting live on Facebook and Periscope. And there you can get your comments in. It's great, Facebook.com/JaySekulow. You get to watch us live, and we never go to break during that Facebook broadcast.
All right, we're going to be taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Big news. No more catch and release. 15,000 new agents. Real enforcement of our borders. Back with more in just a moment.
The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. Now it's time to repair the damage. It's a critical time in Washington. President Trump has held crucial meetings at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's now more important than ever to show the world that Israel has no better friend than the United States of America. It's time to stand with our ally, not abandon Israel. With a new administration comes new hope. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. And we said we've got breaking news. The Department of Homeland Security issues two memorandums enforcing President Trump's executive orders on immigration and border security. Department of Homeland officials today officially laid out an aggressive plan with these memos. It includes a couple things that I think are noteworthy. Number one, it says let's start the construction of the border wall. And like now, I mean, this is in the determinations. So in the enforcement order, in what they've laid out as how to prioritize issues, the construction of the border wall is to commence even from existing funds. They want to determine if they're available. 15,000 new agents between Border Patrol and ICE. They also are stopping immediately the catch and release program, as Jordan just discussed. They're also implementing additional enforcement procedures whereby if you've violated any law in the United States, you are a priority for removal. The one thing they did not change, and we need to talk about this before we take a call, is they did not impact the DACA program. And I want Jordan to explain this. It's very important, folks, to understand. And there's a reason why the president did not utilize doing the DACA program right now, changing the DACA program. And we'll go through the policy reason in a moment. But let's go ahead and lay out what the DACA program
That's
is.
That's right. So in the executive order, the memo here that came out today from Secretary Kelly from Department of Homeland Security on enforcement of the immigration laws to serve the national interest, it begins actually on the second page that with the exception of the June 15, 2012 memo that was from President Obama entitled Exercising Prosecutorial Discretion with Respect to Individuals Who Came to the U.S. as Children. That is DACA, Deferred Actions for Childhood Arrivals to America. What that is people who came to the United States as minors. So they again, were not adults. They came in as minors and have grown up believing that they were here legally. Whether they had false paperwork, real paperwork, they've been in the. Usually, they find out when they turn 18, right. And it's a Social Security issue. Because a lot of states you get driver's licenses, you can right. still get all of the benefits. You would not necessarily know, and maybe until you applied to college, maybe even later. So there's difficulties now. The actual laws on the books, the actual immigration laws, don't make exceptions for people like that. They are to be deported, but. What President Trump is saying here in this memo through Secretary Kelly is they're going to, I think, figure that out.
Yeah.
The law needs to be changed there. If you want these individuals to be able to stay in America and you believe that's the right thing to do morally or legally,
you need to change the
law. Law's got to be changed because right now all they can do is apply for temporary
status.
Temporary status, so they're on no path
but that's
to
action of action of Congress that would be necessary there.
Congress would have to act, and of course we've seen on this immigration issue, even with a Republican House and Senate, we don't get actual legislation. That's why you get so many executive orders on this issue.
Logan, what are we seeing on Facebook and social media? And then we'll take some phone calls.
Yeah, comments are coming in. We have one from Shirley, said, great news on border security. When are we going to see some action and legislation from Congress on
that? All right, so what the president has proposed actually doesn't have to have legislation. So this is being implemented literally as we speak. So this is implemented now, folks. I mean, this is happening right this moment. So this is, the enforcement order is dated today. So it is released today. The border and security agents are notified as to what their priorities are for removal, how are they to enforce the stopping of catch and release. Let me give you a quick analysis of what it is. Number one, prioritizes criminal illegal immigrants and other for deportation. So if you've got any criminality, it doesn't have to be just a crime of like murder or robbery, but any criminality and you're subject to deportation. Number two, it expands the ability of local law enforcement, and this is important, to serve as basically deputized ICE agents that had been rolled back under the Obama administration. It's starting the planning, design, and construction of a U.S.-Mexico border wall. That's contained in these documents. And also the hiring of 10,000 immigration and custom enforcement agents and 5,000 Border Patrol agents. John Roberts, our friend from Fox News, got word on this when it came out. I want you to hear his reaction because it kind of points to the significance of this move here.
It will also prioritize the removal of criminal illegal aliens, people who are convicted of any criminal offense, people who have been charged with a criminal offense that has not been resolved, anyone who has committed acts which constitute a chargeable criminal offense, anyone who has abused public benefit programs, that could be a very controversial point, and people who are subject to a removal order but are still in the country.
Yeah, so there you have it. I mean, it's as aggressive can be in that regard within the law. And I think this was a very bold move by DHS. This was orderly. This is an orderly rollout, which I think is important here. And it came through the department that's charged with the enforcement of this. So the executive order was established by the president. Then the department issues rules, regulations, and guidance memorandums. That's what we have right here. So these memos that I'm holding are the actual guidance memos. That's what these are. These are from the Department of Homeland Security. They're also there's two of them. One's involving the border. One's involving the interior of the country on immigration and naturalization issues. So there you have them. Two orders that have been issued, two memorandums implementing the president's order. That's important here to understand.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, this, again, we could take a caller, Elias on line three. He's calling from Maryland, because I think there's important questions to answer here. This really is a significant change in not the law, but in how the law is going to be enforced, existing laws on the books, how they will be enforced. Yep. Elias, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, love your show. I had a comment. I'm over here in Greenbelt, Maryland. I'm a born citizen here in the United States.
Okay.
My father came from El Salvador. He's a citizen as well. He loved this country.
Yep.
We're both Trump supporters. But I have a question. What do you think Trump and his administration is going to do regarding people who came here illegally, but people who work and pay their taxes?
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to...
Low priority on deportation. In fact, not really addressed in the order of the existing people that are working. Jordan mentioned the DACA situation already, the kids that thought they were citizens. So it's a priority because you have to have priorities in deportation.
Yes, there are priorities, but before they get to the priorities, it actually is very clear. Other than what is noted in the beginning, which is DACA, it says the department no longer will exempt classes or categories of removable aliens from potential enforcement. So that means just because you are not a criminal, if you are in some way come across these agents and are apprehended, you will be
deported.
You will go through the removal process. So that they do, then they prioritize people, of course, criminal offense, any criminal offense, not violent crimes, which we used to have.
It could be welfare fraud.
That's actually a big, that's something mentioned throughout, because that's the chargeable offense.
Right.
You can find out that
and they don't have to be convicted. You can just be charged. So this is really going to do a lot on the illegal immigration. We got a lot of comments coming in.
Yeah, a comment came in from Paul on Facebook. Said, Jay, if a police officer refuses the order, what are the repercussions?
They would be fired, because if they are deputized, if a department is deputized or individual agents are deputized and they fail to faithfully execute the laws of the United States, they're violating their oath and they would be terminated. Now, this is markedly different because the Obama administration, that law was already on the books, by the way, but the Obama administration did not enforce it. They did not want that to exist. So this, again, I think it's important, Jordan, for people to understand, this is taking some existing law and then also putting things on top of that for enforcement priority and clarification of what's at stake here.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got Again, the additional agents, 10,000 new ICE agents. Those are mostly, you know, interior. They are the ones who do the raids. They are
and 5,000 more on the border.
5,000 more on the border. In addition to the 5,000 on the border, 500 more in the air that patrol the border. So it's really 5,500 there.
Yep.
This is, again, so you've got a large expansion of staff. You've got the wall. The wall is specifically mentioned. The beginning of the construction of the wall through funds that exist. And then also looking for congressional authorization for more funding.
So it's
as
important
well.
For everybody to understand that the commencement, design, and construction of the wall is commencing with this order because there are funds that are already available that can be utilized. They were available to the Obama administration, too, because there's been legislation on this.
That's right.
He just denied enforcement. So this is where you have a presidential change of policy. There's existing money available, it can be utilized for this.
Yeah, since 1996, when there was the last time there was immigration reform, that money has been allocated and not fully used.
Yeah, okay, let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, Michelle's calling on line 4 in Salt Lake City, Utah. You're on the air,
Hi, Michelle, go ahead.
Hey, guys, love everything you do.
Thanks.
Hey, I watch Border Wars, and I see hundreds of thousands of dollars that they seize at the border. What happens to that money, and can they use that to put towards building the wall?
All right, I don't know. What's Borders War Long? Is that a TV show?
It's my assumption.
All right. So is Border Wars a show, Michelle? Is that a TV show?
Yeah, it's a TV show that shows the Border Patrol down on the southern border.
So here's how it works when the money comes in. So I used to do this when I was a lawyer for the Treasury Department, for the IRS. It's called a Jeopardy assessment. So once that money is taken, the government can then file an action in the local federal court to seize that asset. It's an asset seizure. It's not adjudicated until you have it's not released until you have an adjudication of the case. But I used to do these. They were called Jeopardy assessments. And because the government felt like there was a jeopardy of the money fleeing, you would freeze the money, freeze the asset with the court, and then the government would have a priority. So that's already in the existing law. So ICE would work with Treasury, that's how it would work, or I guess Homeland Security would work with Treasury to determine exactly how that would be implemented, but it would be the existing Jeopardy assessment laws that are already on the books. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, more of your calls, right, Logan?
That's right. We do have, actually, we got no lines open right now, but they will open up 1-800-684-3110. About 6,000 of you are on Facebook right now. Go ahead and share that with your friends. And if you want to log over during the breaks, we have exclusive video and you get to talk to us again. That's at facebook.com/jaysekulow.
And millions listening on radio.
Millions and
yes.
Millions.
Millions and millions on radio, which
and
is great.
Millions.
So get your friends involved in the conversation. Again, that's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. Now it's time to repair the damage. It's a critical time in Washington. President Trump has held crucial meetings at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's now more important than ever to show the world that Israel has no better friend than the United States of America. It's time to stand with our ally, not abandon Israel. With a new administration comes new hope. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, here's what we've got. Two memos have been issued by the Department of Homeland Security, both of them implementing President Trump's various executive orders on border security. It includes the construction of design and planning for the U.S.-Mexico border wall. That money, by the way, some of that money is already allocated, so that's a big development. Two, it expands the existing program, which allows local law enforcement to serve basically as deputized ICE or Border Patrol agents. This was a policy, Jordan, that existed under the law, but the Obama administration suspended it.
Yeah, that's right. So you had, again, these are, much of this was, even the catch and release
yep.
was done away with by President
Bush. Explain to everybody what catch and release is.
So catch and release is this policy that if you're apprehended and you're here illegally, not necessarily border issue, but more of like interior inside the country, and you're apprehended and they catch you, you know, this could be like because you're in a car accident or you're pulled over for speeding or
right.
in any reason, not necessarily criminal, that you will not be detained, but that you'll just be given a hearing date.
Yeah.
And then, of course, people don't show up at the hearings.
Right.
So this was ended by President Bush in 2006.
Yep.
But what President Obama did through via executive orders basically reinstitute that policy by he prioritized so heavily on violent criminals
yeah.
that everyone else was basically treated in that sense of deprioritized, and so you get a hearing at yep. some potential time and you're let go.
Yep.
So you could be here
really
illegally, you're violating the law, and you were actually let back into, just like if you got a speeding ticket and it says here's your court date,
yep.
that's what would happen to these individuals.
All right, Logan, let's go ahead and take another call.
All right, let's do this. Let's go to Drake, who's calling on line 5. Drake, you're on the air in Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Drake.
Hi, how you doing? Quick question. I'm not an attorney.
All right.
However, I'm having a hard time understanding the initial order that was stayed. I believe it was the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah, well, that's the executive order you're talking about, and that had to do with aliens, immigration, and asylum seekers coming into the United States. That's different than this. So we do not have that. There may be some confusion on this. This is not the redone executive order that's been talked about, Drake. This is an existing executive order that has not been challenged, that the president issued early on, first couple of days of the administration. This is the implementation orders, which are the memorandums from the Department of Homeland Security. This is different than the executive order issue. We're expecting that executive order could come out today or tomorrow. They're saying certainly by Thursday, but
yeah,
it's different.
These came out the same day.
Yeah.
It was about less than a month ago, so January 25th, 2017. It was the same day as the executive order that's been challenged in court. These were the two other orders. One here is enhancing – this is the memo to implement the executive order entitled Enhancing Public Safety in the Interior of the United States. That's one. And then the second is the memo implementing the executive order entitled Border Security and Immigration Enforcement Improvements,
yeah.
both issued by President Trump on January 25th, 2017.
Hiring 15,000 new border agents, too, 5,000 border agents and 10,000 ICE agents, as well as the deputizing of local law enforcement. We had that provision up, if we can, for our audience that's watching on television. I think it's important to see this. 287G, there it is. This is a program which allows participating local officers to act as immigration agents. So this is a deputation program, basically, is what you have here. And this was already on the books, but it wasn't enforced. So now it's going to be, which is, I think, a very positive statement. I think overall this is very good, and I think the rollout is exactly correct. Let's grab another call, Logan.
All right, let's go.
Or comment.
Yeah, let's go to Carrie. She's been on hold for a while in Arizona. Carrie, welcome.
All right, Carrie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. You know, we've all seen the video streams of the refugees overrunning the borders in Europe, and we've all heard the cries of the left stating that Trump's policies are unfair, separating families,
yep.
women and children.
Yep.
And I was wondering, in order to focus efforts to help balance the immigration of refugees, could there be some kind of language inserted in any of Trump's policies requiring for every young man, the type that are usually involved
yep.
in being radicalized, that a woman and child is also admitted, so that we're not just bringing all single men
yeah,
in.
So
and we are.
This is a priority issue, and the concern, and we've talked about this early on, that the migration patterns coming out of the Middle East have showed a predominance. Some reports from the United Nations showed upward of 65% of the individuals coming in through Europe were males ages 18 to 35. Now, that doesn't mean they're all bad, but that does set a parameter. It wasn't a lot of kids. The tragedy, of course, of that is it doesn't take many bad actors to create a problem. But this, I think, look, there's going to be extreme vetting. I'm sure that's coming in the next 48 to 72 hours here. This is separate from this, though.
But it does go in line with those. There were three executive orders issued on the same day. One of those has been challenged in court. We've talked about that extensively. That was on the immigration and refugees. These were the other two. So now you have the executive orders and the implementation memos, the memos that say what do we do from these executive orders? And so we have not gotten yet the new executive order. How do we know there's one coming? The Department of Justice said so. They told the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, we're no longer litigating this because the president is going to issue a new order in the coming days and weeks. So we know that is happening. There's been a lot of speculation on what day. I mean, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be the end of the week. But it should be soon in light of the fact that all of this is tied to securing the United States.
Yeah.
What these memos, as well as that executive order.
Yeah, I'm expecting Thursday. Go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, also on Facebook said, hopefully the president stops people from coming here illegally, no matter which country they're coming from, because the borders are important. And Tom also said, it is a violation of law for any person to conceal, harbor, or shield any place, including any building or means of transportation. And how do sanctuary cities?
Yeah, I think sanctuary cities are. Well, listen, I mean, technically, sanctuary cities are aiding and abetting criminal activity. I mean, that's what the reality of a sanctuary city. Now, this order does not address the sanctuary cities. I think that's coming as well. There's been an executive order. There's got to be an implementation order.
Yeah, and the question there is what's the tie-in to the punishment for those sanctuary cities? Is it in federal funding to programs would be probably the likely scenario.
Yep.
That one will go to court, because anytime federal government threatens funding over a city's policies, you've got an issue set up there between local governance and the federal government that's ripe for court review. What sanctuary cities basically do is what the Obama administration did at a federal level, which is say, we're going to ignore the law. And so we're going to instruct our law enforcement officials, not the federal officials, but our law enforcement officials, not to enforce the immigration laws that exist. So we're not going to apprehend anyone if they're here illegally. We're not going to look into that. We're going to issue driver's license. We're going to let you have all the benefits that anyone else would have in the city. And we're not going to even look into your background.
All right, let's go ahead. I want to play some sound. This is from Bill Hemmer when the order first came out, one of the transition officials from the Trump administration, Boris Epstein. Let's take a listen.
What's the main objective to these orders? And tell us what the president wants to accomplish with it, Boris.
The main objective is to keep this country safe, to keep Americans safe and secure in their homes and in their jobs. And it's consistent, Bill, with what this president talked about and promised throughout the campaign and the transition. And what does that mean? That means making sure that those illegal aliens who are here who are criminals are let out of this country, deported out of this country first. There is a priority.
So there you have it. So this was to secure the United States. This is the implementation order to secure the United States of America. So this is a very big, I think a really positive development. Now, we only have 50 seconds left of this half hour. Logan's going to let you know the multiple ways you can engage. A lot of the stations are now carrying the full hour of the program, which is great. If yours isn't, you should tell them to carry it.
Yep.
There's a lot of ways to get it.
Yeah, if you don't get it or you just want a different experience, log on over to Facebook and Periscope or ACLJ.org where you get to see us and talk to us, at least on the social media outlets like Facebook. You can comment. That's at Facebook.com/JaySekulow. If you lose us here, you can find us archived on the ACLJ app, available on iPhone, iPad, Roku, or Apple TV. You can also find the Jay Sekulow Live podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, or again, however you get your podcasts each and every day.
And remember, continue to support the work of the ACLJ. You can do that by simply going over to our website at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in literally a minute.
The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So if you're just joining us, a brand new series of memorandums from the Department of Homeland Security enforcing President Trump's executive orders. These, both of these, and I'll distill them for you. One of the main points here is the implementation of the border wall planning and construction to start. Let's start with that one. That is in the implementation order. To start that construction, planning, and development now, because, Jordan, there is money that's already been allocated for this.
Yeah, and it goes back to existing law from the 1990s. Last time there was really any significant immigration reform was a 1996 law. So it says we're gonna start, obviously, planning it, but we'll design it and constructing the wall and come up with, in consultation with the commissioner of the Customs and Border Patrol, identify and allocate all sources of available funding for the planning, design, and construction.
Because there has already been allocations, and Congress has already made allocations here.
That's right. I mean, there's portions of the border that have walls and fences, and of course, that funding comes from allocations by Congress. The larger scope, and this does obviously acknowledge that, the larger scope of what President Trump wants to accomplish on border security and the wall is going to take more resources than is just available. So it says there, include preparing a congressional budget request for the current fiscal year and subsequent fiscal years. So they want to begin now requesting more funding from Congress. Now, what people will key in on is when President Trump pledged that Mexico will pay for this. How is that going to be explained?
Yeah.
You know, that could be through the renegotiation of NAFTA, trade policies, import taxes, tariffs, if you will. We don't know yet. I think that will be something the left seizes on.
Yep.
Is that, wait, President, you know, Trump's campaign the whole time saying we're not going to pay for it. Now here he is requesting Congress to give him money to pay
for
the wall.
But there are ways to get that money back through tariffs and trade,
right.
and
they're
import
going to
export
have to
taxes.
That.
Yeah, they will have to explain it. Let me give you the quick summary of what we've got in these two memos. About looks like about 16 pages total between the two. Here's what you've got: prioritizing criminal illegal immigrants and others for deportation, updating guidance from previous administration, which basically, if it wasn't a violent crime, you weren't going to be deported. That has changed. Expanding the Section 287G program, which allows participating local law enforcement to act as immigration agents. And that had been rolled back under the Obama administration. So that has now been changed. That's significant. Starting, as Jordan just said, the planning, design, and construction of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. That is going to commence. Hiring 10,000 immigration and custom enforcement agents. That has been commenced. Hiring 5,000 border patrol agents. 500 basically air marshals, air surveillance capabilities, and ending the catch and release program. So this is a significant shift on enforcement of our borders. For those watching on TV or on Facebook and Periscope, there it is for you, giving you an idea of what exactly is in play here. And these are some, I mean, they're significant changes. I mean, really significant changes here. Let's go ahead and take another call. Or, Logan, should we take another comment?
We got a quick comment. Let's go to Douglas, a quick call. Douglas in Pennsylvania on line 6.
Hi, Douglas. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for all you guys do.
Sure.
My question is in regards to legal immigration.
Yep.
Are there any guidelines or limits set to how many people we need to have in the United States?
Well, look,
and I ask because the roadways are stuffed. We're having kids every day.
We have to stop just for your quality of it's a quality.
Your comment was fine.
Yeah.
The
couldn't
phone
hear
call
you well,
was,
but we think we got a general idea.
So no, this does not impact in any way our existing immigration program. So that is not part of this, Jordan. The immigration laws that we have in the United States, visas, allocations, that's not changing. We will see a change with some asylum seekers and some immigrations from the seven countries of concern. That'll be coming momentarily. But this doesn't impact that at all.
No, this is not about legal immigration or refugee status. This is about people who are already here illegally, and so inside the country, and border security.
Yeah, so it's very specific in that regard.
That's right. And we'll be back in about 21 seconds on Facebook and Periscope. Don't go anywhere. But you didn't like where I looked? So
you
got to look up here.
Facebook.com/JSecular.
We have an exclusive video, I believe, coming up in the break. And you can find that again at Facebook.com/JSecular. We do have quite a few phone lines open. 1-800-684-3110.
There you go.
3110.
Clear them out for you.
The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. Now it's time to repair the damage. It's a critical time in Washington. President Trump has held crucial meetings at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's now more important than ever to show the world that Israel has no better friend than the United States of America. It's time to stand with our ally, not abandon Israel. With a new administration comes new hope. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've got two new orders. These are coming through Homeland Security. They are being implemented as part of the process based on the existing executive orders that the president signed back almost a month ago. These are impacting border security, the building of a wall, hiring of 15,000 new Border Patrol and ICE agents. Catch and release is no longer going to be the policy of the United States. Deputizing local law enforcement. 500 surveillance aircraft capability on our border. So this is a big change, and it does not change the DACA program again. I want to reset the DACA program, and then we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. But let's let everybody, because that was one where people were questioning, and I think it's probably the right call here for the president not to, to touch that program right now.
That's the deferred action for childhood arrivals. What that means is that if you came to the country as a minor, so unknowingly and unintentionally, you didn't violate the law on your own. You were brought here by your parents, and you've been living in the United States. You don't even necessarily know that you're here illegally, but you find out you are. You can apply for the federal government to have, again, this is it's a deferred action. And all that does is give you some more time to be in the United States. It is not a pathway to legal or lawful permanent residence. It's not a pathway to citizenship. It's actually something we talked about. A lot of those orders by President Obama, they don't solve the problem for these people, for those individuals. And so ultimately, that issue has to be resolved by Congress, because under the current immigration law, that person would be deported. And so now you can apply for this deferred action. If you're granted that, I think it's for 2 years, and you can reapply. But it does not give you any way to kind of be on a – even not just a citizenship path, but lawful permanent residence. That would have to be amended – in the immigration law.
As legislation that has to go through
President
Congress.
The president can't do that on his own.
Let's go ahead and take another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Sue. He's calling in Oregon. Sue, you're on the air.
Hi, Sue.
Hi there. Quick question.
Sure.
My son's a police officer in Oregon.
Yep.
Wondering if this new enforcement of this law can affect the state law. He believes that the state law here can override the federal
law. No, it cannot. There's a clause of the Constitution that's called the Supremacy Clause. And if a state law or state constitution conflicts with the United States Constitution, that law is void and of no effect. It's called the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution. The question for your son will be if, in fact, there is a determination to utilize Section 287G of the INA, of the Immigration Naturalization Act, to utilize your son, for instance, as law enforcement to assist ICE or Border Patrol. That is going to be up to the various agencies to determine.
Yeah, not every police officer in the country is going to be asked to do this. I think it'll be based regionally, based on certain cities, of course, border places on the border. Arizona was trying to do this on its own. And remember, the Supreme Court said you can't
do it, right?
That the federal government has to do this. So that's what this is instructing, that the agencies will, in fact, come in, deputize state and local officials to be able to carry out these functions. So it's not just the hiring of 15,000 new agents, 10,000 for interior enforcement, ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement agents, and then 5,000 Border Patrol, 500 in air. But you think about the potential of how many thousands of police officers can also be deputized now to carry out these functions. You could be talking about 100,000, really, new agents and officials to carry out the immigration laws of our country.
Yeah, so it helps the enforcement issue, which is the biggest thing here. Comment or phone call, Logan, what do you want to do?
Let's take another phone call.
Okay.
Let's go to Lynn, who is calling in Pennsylvania on line 3.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. I have a quick question.
Sure.
This may be going way out on a limb, but would there be a way that, as a Christian mom, that if I wanted to take in an immigrant child who obviously is a citizen of the United States, but their parents are not, and take that child in while their parents went back over and then came through legally.
You'd have to go through. Let me tell you what you have to do, Lynn. You've got to go through the laws on foster care and foster parenting in your state. So you're calling from Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, like every state in the country, has policies and law in place about foster care. You cannot just, if you were the depository of the child, there's all kind of legal, I'm not going to give you individual legal advice here, but there's all kinds of liability issues that can attach, and you may well be violating state law. So that would be a question under state law. There are lawyers that specialize in that, by the way, adoption, foster care, and there's a whole body of law on that, and every state's different.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, again, you've got to make sure there you've got the lawful ability to have custody of that child. That goes to an area of the law. Remember that deferred action for parents of Americans?
DAPA.
That got challenged in court,
right?
And the Obama administration stopped fighting it because the Trump administration announced. So that's no longer good,
right?
That executive order. But this is it's different for the child arrivals,
right?
And that will, again, I think individually you've got to look at each of those.
Individually you have to look at your particular state as that plays out. I appreciate the compassion and concern. But again, I think the state law there becomes a very big factor in all this. All right, let's take a couple comments, and we're taking more calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, Angelina said the president is delivering law and order. We also got one from Angel who said we need better laws to help people who want to come to America legally.
I think you're going to see a comprehensive, and I believe that this will happen, a comprehensive change in our immigration process and procedures. I think it's going to streamline it, but it's going to be very particular, so we know who's coming to the United States, whether the countries of origin can vouch. Remember, this is not the we're dealing with the news of today. This is not the executive order. This is something different. So it's different here.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead. Do we have time? Yeah, we got time for a call. Let's go to James, who's calling in Fresno, California.
Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was just wondering. The Supreme Court came in on this DACA ruling, and they split 4-4.
Right.
And they issued a ruling without comment or dissent that means the program will remain blocked into going into effect. So how is that going to play out with DACA going into the future?
That's not DACA.
Because
not to confuse people. So DACA is childhood arrivals. That could be challenged in court, but it hasn't been to the extent that DAPA was challenged in court by Texas and 25 other states. That's where the Supreme Court split 4-4. That kept in place the Fifth Circuit ruling.
But it keeps it in place.
And that Fifth Circuit ruling said this is unconstitutional. So at this point, it's moot. The Trump administration doesn't want to enforce DAPA. He hasn't issued a new executive order. Could it be re-challenged?
Sure.
Yes, it could go through. The Department of Justice could try to argue in court the president has his power, even if they don't want to implement it now. But right now, there's been no even trial.
Yeah,
so that wasn't even on the merits yet.
And I suspect, again, that I don't see any real legal challenges coming to this. I do see legal challenges, though, going forward when that executive order is reissued on the immigration and asylum seeking. Even though I think it's going to clean up any questions, they will still challenge it under the Establishment Clause, unless we're really surprised here. I think I expect it's going to be. Do we have time for a call, Logan? You want to take a comment?
Let's go ahead and take here's a comment came from Carolyn. Do you expect any backlash from the left regarding these executive orders?
Yeah, I think there's going to be. When asking our producer, Will, to see if we've gotten any response yet from the ACLU or some of the National Immigration Services, what kind of brushback do you think you'll see, Jordan?
I think that the brushback will really be on the wall. So I don't know if it'll be so much legal as it will be saying, well, now you're asking Congress. I mean, I can already see people debating that. And this is you've got a request in here on page 5 of your order requesting Congress to give you money when you said that Mexico was going to pay for it. Now, Mexico was never going to like write a check to the United States.
I
think that President Trump's explained that would be through import taxes, some kind of tariff,
right,
and through the renegotiation of portions of NAFTA. So we'll see. Again, I think the left is not going to like this. They're not going to like the fact that even though there are prioritized people here, so that obviously when you have this many illegal immigrants in the country, you want to give law enforcement officials some priorities to work with. At the same time, it's very clear that no one, except for DACA, no one is exempt. So it does. So if you don't have a criminal record, that doesn't
mean you're clear, right?
That does not matter. And also, it doesn't mean that you don't have to be actually convicted of a crime. Just if you had
accused
of the crime. So I think they're going to be looking through the court cases, looking
and they
through.
Will prioritize because they have to. You got limited resources.
They do have to do that.
And they have prosecutorial discretion.
Even with the new officials and all of that, the immigration court system is
a disaster.
Backed up. That's not addressed here either.
No. So a lot to unpack here. Obviously, we're going to have a post on this up this afternoon at ACLJ.org. I'm sure we'll get it out on social media as well. We're coming up on the last segment of the broadcast. That means we'll take your calls on any topic. Logan's going to give you that number. Then I'm going to ask you to do something
specific.
Yeah,
phone lines are jammed right now, but they will open up 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. You can obviously get your comments in online on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow, and talk to us during the breaks.
I'm glad you can figure out which lines are live and which ones are open. I can't figure it out, but that's just me. What do I know? All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, as Logan said. And again, if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, and we encourage you to do it, you should be signing up for like our Facebook pages. The band has a page, I have a page, the ACLJ has a page, Jordan has a page, Logan doesn't have a page that you can sign up for, but everybody else does. So we encourage you to do that. Also, follow us on Twitter. Jordan has a Twitter, and I have Twitter as well. So we encourage you to do that. Again, be part of the team. Join the ACLJ. Go over to ACLJ.org and sign up for our newsletters and releases and support the work of the ACLJ as well at ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. Now it's time to repair the damage. It's a critical time in Washington. President Trump has held crucial meetings at the White House with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It's now more important than ever to show the world that Israel has no better friend than the United States of America. It's time to stand with our ally, not abandon Israel. With a new administration comes new hope. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Everyone, so this is the last segment of the broadcast. We're taking your calls on any topic. We're going to try to hit these as quick as we can. Let's go right to them, Logan.
All right, yep, let's go to the phones. Let's go in order. A lot of people have been holding for a while. Let's go to Dawn, who's calling in New Mexico on line one.
Dawn, go ahead.
Hi, Jay, guys. Listen, love the new studio.
Thanks.
Love the fact that I get to see more broadcasting when things come up. But here, I got a two-part question.
Yep.
You were just discussing it. Can a sheriff or police officer refuse to be deputized by ICE if they're averse to President Trump's immigration policy? And secondly, who pays these deputized law enforcement officers when they're rounding up criminal illegal aliens or those that are here in America for under 2 years, as I'm sure you're very much aware of that policy? Thank you, Jay.
All right. Very good. So on the, as far as who pays, the federal government would be reimbursing state law enforcement. That's the way it works generally. If an officer who is – if a request for deputization came through the Immigration and Naturalization Service or through Homeland Security, which is where it would come from, and a officer or a group of police officers or a department were to say, no, we don't want to do this, they're violating federal law. I mean, that's a very – it's not criminal, but it could be, it could result in a whole host of issues, I mean, including funding issues.
Yeah, and I don't think – there's no conscientious objection to
– no.
Enforcing the law. Laws if you have agreed to be a law enforcement
official.
Well,
they've sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, you
and
can't,
the laws passed there, yeah, you know, that have been held to be constitutional. All this has this. None of this is new. This is actually just about enforcing laws that are already on the books and how to do it, and also just giving more resources to the federal government. But I mean, I really do. You can imagine. And it, obviously, this has touched a nerve, the deputizing of the local and state officials. That you're talking about 15,500 new federal officials with these two executive orders. But they've also opened up the possibility of deputizing thousands and thousands, unlimited amount of local law enforcement. And they're not going to want to deputize local law enforcement departments that are going to be hostile. So they're also going to prioritize who they'll deputize. Now, I guarantee you that's going to be police officers in Maricopa County, in Arizona, and that are having to deal with this issue and don't have the backing of the federal government, don't have the resources necessarily, so they can now come in and have the authority delegated by the federal government to carry out these laws.
All right, so I think that's a very fair analysis of exactly what it is. Again, I can't imagine the states winning that lawsuit. They may try. Some of these sanctuary cities may try if they try to deputize these sanctuary
Seattle
cities.
Seattle mayor is threatening to file a lawsuit. He's going to say in his state of the city, he's threatening to file a lawsuit
on sanctuary,
on sanctuary cities and on the implementation of these orders. Preemptively file a lawsuit. Before it's even issued.
Well,
because
let me
of what the effect will be. So you've got, again, just a lot of litigation that will go on, especially when it comes to funding that could
keeping the ACLJ busy. All right, Ted, take another call.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Sandy, who's calling in Texas. You're on the air, Sandy.
Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to let y'all know the studio looks great.
Oh, thanks.
And Jay, Jordan, y'all look awesome. Logan seriously needs a suit and tie.
Not going to happen.
Logan is not going to do that. He is going to be the reaching to his generation. That's what somebody said on air yesterday, that we like the fact that Logan is reaching out to his generation.
Me enough.
He would say,
I would rather just not be on camera. Just turn my camera off. you want to see a sweaty man for an hour? That's fine. You can enjoy that. You don't want to see it. Trust me, Sandy. Moving on.
Right.
Let's go to Debbie. Debbie hopefully has nicer things to say. Debbie from Texas.
Yeah, we weren't going to wear a suit and tie every day, by the way. We're doing it today in these days because we've got a lot of media.
You should have seen the first thing he wanted to wear. I'm the one who vetoed it.
You did. I was going to wear, on our test on Saturday, I was going to wear a Vanderbilt sweatshirt.
And I said no.
You did say no.
So you know what?
All right, there you go. Don't
you're
take it so personally.
Not my friend, Sandy.
Oh,
Debbie,
Sandy's
you're
your
on
friend.
The air.
Go ahead.
Not my friend.
Debbie, go ahead.
Not my friend. Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I was just wondering, I have actually two questions.
Yep.
One is, what is, you know, the left is protesting all the separation of the families, even though they're illegal and the kids are legal. what is keeping the kids from going back over with their parents and staying with their parents? And the other question is, when did the United States start recognizing dual citizenship?
Well, the dual citizenship is a whole issue, by the way, because there's a lot of questions about that that are being asked right now. But on the children, they could go back. But if someone's born in the United States, that's different than the DACA program, by the way. So let me make this clear, and Jordan can do the DACA portion because I don't want people confused. If you're born in the United States, guess what you are? A citizen of the United States. That does not mean you can't go to Mexico with your parents or to Russia, wherever your parents are from. But you don't lose your citizenship. But that's different than DACA.
That's right. That's people who were born, let's say, in Mexico or born in another country, brought here illegally as minors. So they did not intentionally on their own violate the law. They find out at some point in time that they are here illegally. There's now a program in place for them if they find out where they can apply for deferred action. All that means is a deferral of the action of their removal. Right now, it just lasts for a couple of years, and you can file again. It doesn't give you a pathway to lawful permanent residence or citizenship. That would take a change in the actual law. This was executive order issued by President Obama, and in the memos today, specifically when they talk about the enforcement of the immigration laws, it says, with the exception of the memorandum on June 15, 2012, that's DACA that was issued by President Obama.
Yeah.
So they right off the bat, it's very clear.
Yep.
So any of the opponents of President Trump when it comes to the immigration issue, I think that's going to silence a lot of them because that's not going anywhere.
All right, let's take another call, Logan.
All right, Henry, you're on the air, line one.
Hi, Henry.
Ohio.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Love the studio.
Thanks.
And you guys always have great information. I appreciate all your hard work.
Thanks.
Just had a question. I've read several articles and posts and stuff online about how they're going to try and clog up the courts with the illegal immigrants. Well, my understanding, not a lawyer, if they're not U.S. citizens, how are they entitled to our courts?
Yeah, they're entitled because due process rights attach when people are in the United States. So there are some various due process rights. In fact, in some of the language we suggested for the executive order that should be coming probably in the next 72 hours on immigration, we've said you got to make sure the due process rights of individuals that are entitled to due process, that's obtained. And you don't want to cut that off. I mean, I think it's smart to do that.
There's actually an issue now at the Supreme Court today. They're hearing,
I talked about it on
Fox yesterday. Shooting.
That's different.
And that's a whole issue of now, do you have any due process if you're killed by a Border Patrol agent who's in the U.S., while you are across the border,
and can
in
you
Mexico.
Bring a civil action for damages under
against
what's
that,
called a Bivens claim? I was on with Shannon Bream on that yesterday, talking about that, and the difference there is the agent utilized his firearm, which ended up in a result of a 15-year-old tragically getting killed. There was also some other issues going on there during that scene. And the parents then filed a lawsuit in the United States saying we want to sue under what's called a Bivens, a private right of action. And the courts are going to say no, that you don't have extraterritorial application of the due process clause outside of the United States, especially if you're not a U.S. citizen. So it would not apply in that context. All right, Logan, can we grab this last call with a minute to go, or is that call still coming in?
Nope, we don't have it.
So. All right, so we've got a couple comments we should probably read.
All right, this Tom
Nancy
says,
said leave Logan alone.
A lot of people did, so thank you for my supporters.
There you go.
All right, Fox News says the executive order on refugees will come by the end of the week. Do you think that's true?
Yes, I think that we are going to see an executive order by Thursday or Friday.
When that people breaks, we'll come to you here.
Expected it was going to come a bit sooner.
Yep.
It's been a little long now, and so I think
the process.
These two memos are tied to that. They were all released on the same day.
Yep.
Executive orders. So I would expect that this is a week of national security. You've got the new national security advisor. You've got this coming from Department of Homeland Security. I would expect that executive.
Yeah, I think we're days away from executive orders. All right, folks, again, support the work of the ACLJ and engage with us on a variety of different ways.
That's right. Find us on Facebook and Periscope each and every day live. You can also find us archived. Everything you want, though, is available on ACLJ.org. It'll give you links to every bit of content that we have out there and how you can get in touch with us here at the ACLJ. We'll be back tomorrow with more.
The last 8 years have been a disaster. President Obama did everything in his power to undermine our relationship with Israel, our most important ally in the Middle East. At the ACLJ, we're calling on President Trump to stand with Israel, support our most cherished ally in the Middle East. Add your name to our petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.